الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين نبينا وشفيعنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين وعلى من تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين أما بعد فقد قال الله عز وجل في كتابه العزيز ربنا هب لنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا قرة أعين واجعلنا للمتقين إماما وقال الله عز وجل في مقام آخر الخبيثات للخبيثين والخبيثون للخبيثات والطيبات للطيبين والطيبون للطيبات وقال الله عز وجل في شان حبيبه مخبرا وآمرا إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا ومولانا محمد وبارك وسلم وصل عليه الصلاة والسلام عليك يا سيدي يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله. We infinitely praise, we glorify and we submit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and we ask Allah azza wa jal to send his peace and blessings upon our noble beloved messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and upon his purified and beautiful family, and upon the illustrious companions and all of those who follow in the footsteps of Islam until the day of Qiyamah. My respected elders, dear youngsters, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. May the peace and blessings of Allah Azza wa Jal shower upon you all on this blessed and noble day of Jum'ah in this blessed and sacred month of Muharram. May we all be gathered together on the day of Qiyamah in Jannatul Firdaus al-A'la. Allahumma ameen. Over the last few weeks, I've had quite a few discussions with our elders and also with our youngsters in regards to marriage, the difficulties of marriage in relation to the divorce, the talaq, or whether it be the khula, or whether it be other issues of compatibility between the spouses, differences of opinion, and also the amount of religiosity a person has, i.e. how much they practice their faith in comparison to their partner. And therefore I thought it would be prudent to discuss this particular topic in these holidays where we have a lot more youngsters here, inshallah. So for the next 2 weeks or so, we will be discussing the view of Islam on how it wants us to approach marriage and also how it wants us to maintain our marriages as well in a healthy and a spiritual manner, inshaAllah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, as well as from our experiences in our own personal lives, so all of these three things combined teach us a very important, a quintessential lesson of life. And that lesson is that friends, they have a huge amount of influence upon us. And they shape us and our ideology and our behavior and our conduct. And they also have a huge impact upon us whether we end up towards the right side or towards the left side. And we know this from various verses of the Quran, Kunu ma'a as-sadiqeen, be with those people who are righteous, and other verses of the Quran and a hadith of the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, how a good friend is like the good fragrance, and the good friends will lead you towards Jannah, whereas bad friends, those people who are toxic for you or those who are negative for you, will also walk away from you on the day of Qiyamah and become your staunchest of enemies. Al-akhillahu yawma idin ba'duhum li ba'din aduv. This is the command of Allah Azza wa Jal. And from our own life experience, we've known the people from our nurseries to our primary and secondary schools. Some are with us and some are no longer with us because we had differences of opinion, or they wanted us to behave in a particular way and we did the opposite of what they wanted. So friends, without a doubt, it is a universal rule that we all accept, as well as a religious rule for us as Muslims, that they have undoubtedly a huge influence and impact upon us and our behavior and our future. Therefore, if we accept this premise that friends do positively and negatively impact us, then the question that we really need to ask ourselves thereafter is, what about your life partner? What about your life partner, which is your spouse, your husband, and your wife? Because reality is that friends come and go with the passing of time. The friends that you have at university are very different to the friends that you had in your primary and in your secondary. The friends that you had as your neighbors are very different to the friends that you have when you move away from home. And some friends are good and they do stick with you, but other friends are, well, the majority of friends, as I mentioned, they come and go with the passing of time. And when it comes to hard and difficult times, they don't generally have any moral or legal or eternal responsibility. They'll say, Yara, you did this, you deal with it. I told you not to do it, and they'll walk away from it. Or if they need to help you out in a tricky situation, they'll think 10 times. And they'll say, well, you did it, you have the legal ramifications. And especially those friends, they will walk away from you within a second on the day of Qiyamah. They say, Ya Allah, we're not going to have anything to do with this individual. He did what he did during his lifetime. I did what I did. But the life partners that we have, the spouses that we have, are those individuals that actually remain with us for a far longer period than our friends. So therefore, they have a huge stake in our lives, far more than our each other. Ajib. Okay, so you'll just have to listen to me today. So our friends have a far more stake, our life partners have a far greater stake in our lives than our friends. And therefore, we need to really make sure that we choose our life partners in the best way. And we sift through them as intricately as much as possible. So if we want to succeed truly in the deen, and we want to succeed in the dunya, then we need to make sure that our partner, our life partner, is a righteous individual who is constantly guiding us towards all of that which is good, towards all of that which is pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. So inshaAllah al-Aziz, today we'll go through some examples on how to avoid certain types of partners, and also look into how we should look to seek certain individuals, because these people, as I mentioned, will have a huge stake and impact and influence on our lives. Allah Azza wa Jal in the Quran, He states, Al-Khabithatu lil-Khabithina wal-Khabithuna lil-Khabithat wal-Tayyibatu lil-Tayyibina wal-Tayyibuna lil-Tayyibat. That the general rule that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us all is that wicked, impure, and filthy women are for those wicked and impure and filthy men. And vice versa, the wicked and impure men are also for those wicked and impure women as well. But then carrying on within this verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that the pure and the righteous women are for the pure and the righteous men, and vice versa, the pure and righteous men are there for the pure and the righteous women as well. So this is something that we need to understand, that who do we attract? What type of partners or what type of friends do we have? Because they are a reflection of you. And similarly, the partner, the life partner that you choose to live your life with, to share your deen with, to share your akhlaq and everything else, the intimate parts of every single thing of who you are, what type of person are they? Are they from the khabisat and the khabiseen, or are they from the tayyibat and tayyibun? Which category are they from? Will they make you something better and more pure and more righteous and closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Or will they only increase in their filth and sharing and copying over that filth and that wickedness and that treachery over to you? So the life partner is an extension of who you are. It is a representation of who you are. Nobody would want to stand next to a friend if that friend is a druggie, if that friend is an alcoholic, if that friend is a promiscuous person. You would want to stay away from that individual. So then why is it that we make bad decisions and bad choices in life where we end up having a partner who may have or exhibit similar qualities or similar bad traits which you do not want to stand by in your life? And those traits and characteristics will inevitably have an effect, an impact on your mind, on your heart, and on your soul as well. So you choose to live with this particular partner. Many times we don't choose our friends. They are who they are, from our neighbors, from our community, from our schools. We don't really get to choose intimately. However, we do choose who we want to be our life partner, and therefore this is one of the biggest and most important decisions in our lives, to make sure that the life partner that we choose is from tayyibat and tayyibin. It's from these individuals with these beautiful characteristics, those people that will encourage us towards khair and righteousness. This is one thing for us to look at, what type of people you are attracted to and you gravitate towards, and how they will have an impact upon you. The second thing that we also need to consider before we go down this particular road of marriage, looking for potential partners, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us very, very clear guidelines in the Quran on what we can and cannot do, what we must avoid and we must consider. Therefore, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran reminds us on the things that we cannot do when we are pursuing a life partner. Because that life partner not only has an effect on your dunya, but more importantly, it has an effect on your akhirah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran, He mentions, وَلَا تَنْكِحُ الْمُشْرِكَاتِ حَتَّى يُؤْمِنْ وَلَا أَمَةٌ خَيْرٌ مِّن مُشْرِكَةٍ وَلَوْ أَعْجَبَتْكُمْ. And this is also there for the men as well. That you are not permitted in any way or fashion whatsoever to marry a mushrika, or to marry a mushrik, a person who ascribes a partner, na'uzu billahi, to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in any way, fashion or form. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us, وَلَا أَمَةٌ مُؤْمِنَةٌ خَيْرٌ مِّن مُشْرِكَ وَلَوْ أَعْجَبَتْكُمْ. That the slave woman, because when we look at partners, generally what do we look at? We look at her beauty or his beauty. We look at their social status. We look at their family and their lineage and their race and their race and the ethnicity. Oh, we want to see all of these things. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, no, the primary thing that you need to look at is their iman. Because their iman is what will dictate how your life will be, how peaceful it will be, and more importantly, your life of 70 or 80 years is nothing in comparison to the eternity that awaits you. Therefore, وَلَا أَمَةٌ مُؤْمِنَةٌ خَيْرٌ مِّن مُشْرِكَ وَلَوْ أَعْجَبَتْكُمْ. That slave woman or that slave man is far better for you, even though you are dazzled by the beauty of this particular individual. You are dazzled by their wealth and their status and their calm and all of these things. Don't look at these things. Look at their iman, because their iman will bring about peace within your life, within your home. That iman will encourage you to remain on the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reminding us. And similarly, the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam on various occasions reminded us again and again that when you see a believing man and a believing woman and they have their deen and they have good akhlaq, then you should marry off your children. Why? Because if you do not do that, your own children will end up going looking at these people, which will dazzle them and amaze them, and a'jabatkum, and then they'll think, no, no, dad, no, no, mom, I want this woman, I want this man because of all of these things. And then our children will no longer look at the primary thing which is beneficial for their eternal life, but they'll only look for the temporary thing in the dunya. So we are not permitted to have any relationship with these individuals who do shirk. And neither does Islam permit us to marry an agnostic, a person who doesn't really believe whether there is or isn't, or they are apolitical, you could say, in there being a deity or a being, they're agnostic. Or whether a person, especially an atheist, you're not permitted to marry atheists, you're not permitted to marry agnostics, you're not permitted to marry people of shirk. These are the things which are the forbidden elements of our deen and our sharia, and we need to be abundantly clear to our children and also make sure that our heart and mind is on the correct path, the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and not the path of whims and desires and those things that bring us amusement and give us satisfaction just of the dunya, but no satisfaction or success in the hereafter. And there is an exception, which we know in the Qur'an, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us, to marry the Ahl Kitab, to marry the people who are the Christians, or to marry the people who are the Jews. But again, there is no unanimous agreement on this particular verse in terms of how it should be applied. Because some ulama, and including the Sahaba Ikram, they mention that if you do marry Ahl Kitab, whether they be a Christian or a Jew, then it must be in a Muslim country. Why? Because a Muslim country will ensure that the mahol and the environment and how you and your children are raised remains within the parameters of the Sharia. Whereas in a non-Muslim country, if you do marry Ahl Kitab, there is no restriction. You cannot impose anything. She can do what she wants. Whether she brings in the pork, whether she brings in the Christmas tree, whether she brings in all of these Easter eggs, and then all does all of those things, what will happen to you and your the iman of your children, and how it will be diluted? And then how practicing are these Christians or the Jews, whether they actually do believe in Allah and do actually follow their prophets, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had sent Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam and the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So very clear guidelines in the Quran in terms of first what type of people that we gravitate towards, whether they are khabisat, whether they are tayyibat, and then whether we look at their iman and whether it is there or not before we go and take any further steps in terms of how we want to actually marry these people and make them our life partners. Because just the way friends have a huge influence on us for 10, 20, 30 years of our lives, or even more, our wives and our spouses, our husbands, have a far greater impact and influence upon us. And we need to be especially careful here in this country to make sure that we preserve our iman and we strengthen our iman. Because believe me, I have seen this, where marriages take place and they say Ahl Kitab, but then generation down the line, that iman of the husband is also eroded away. And the children have no connection with their deen, and the future generations have no understanding of what is faith or anything else like that. We have a duty to protect our iman and also the iman of the future generations as well. So this is something which is extremely important for youngsters to know, and more important for parents to know as well, i.e. where are the red lines in our sharia, what we can and what we cannot do in how we pursue life partners. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also mentions good, healthy examples of couples as well. Allah Azza wa Jal, He praises Sayyidina Zakariya alayhi salam, and He praises his healthy and his loving and a beautiful relationship that he has with his wife. Allah Azza wa Jal in the Quran reminds us, إِنَّهُمْ كَانُوا يُسَارِعُونَ فِي الْخَيْرَاتِ وَيَدْعُونَنَا رَغَبًا وَرَهَبًا وَكَانُوا لَنَا خَاشِعِينَ. This is an ideal example of a couple of Sayyidina Zakariya alayhi salam and his wife, that they are competing with one another in healthy affairs, and they are helping one another, they are pushing and encouraging one another to improve, to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in their ibadat, in their mu'amalat, and they're calling on to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they are humble before Allah azza wa jal. This is the example of how healthy relationship should be. But if you do not have الطيبات وطيبون, and if you do not have a person of iman, then how can you expect that your wife or your husband will encourage you towards doing all of those things that Allah Azza wa Jalla commands us, to do those things that the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam commands us? The Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, furthermore in a hadith, he mentions that may the mercy be upon that woman, and similarly may the mercy be upon that man, i.e. the husband and the wife, that they wake up in the middle of the night and they pray tahajjud, dhu qiyamul layl, or they wake up for fajr, and not only do they wake up, but they also wake up their partner as well, because they are concerned not just for the physical welfare of their partner. Everybody would wake up and say, there's a fire, get out of here, we're trying to protect you and save you. They'd protect you from harm in the food or anything else. But people of Iman, spouses of Iman, they wake you up and they protect you from the fire of hell. They say, wake up, and they sprinkle water upon you and they say, you need to get up and rise and remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is what the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam is reminding us, that may mercy be upon those individuals who encourage one another towards khair and goodness. But how many relationships are there and we are just Muslims by name? Or if you marry into Ahl Kitab, again it is very, very diluted, and there is no this relationship of encouragement, of being closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, pushing towards goodness, pushing towards khair and piety. They always say behind a successful man is always a woman, and vice versa as well. But for us, from our Islamic perspective, if you want to be truly successful, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ, then you can only look at your success the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala measures it, in your salah, in your siyam, in your qiyam, in your ruku, in your sujood, in your zakah, in your hajj, in your ibadah, in your mu'amalat, in your deen. This is where success is. Not the success of how much she earns or how much you earn, or the accolades or the titles or the qualifications that you have, or how big your house is, or all of these things. True partners of Iman, of faith, are those people who are constantly reminding us to be closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and keeping us in check. You know, our husbands and wives keep each other in check. You can't spend this much, you can't do this, X, Y, and Z. But true partners of Iman keep you in check and keep you on the straight and narrow, keep you on the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And therefore, before marriage, every single one of us, including parents, they must examine the partners very, very carefully and look at their religiosity, look at their iman, look at their faith, because that faith will affect your son, it will affect your daughter, it will affect their akhirah, it will affect your grandchildren, it will affect you and your home and the stability and the sukoon of your home. But how many of our parents are just looking at khandan, just looking at the color of the skin of that individual, whether they be white or whether they are black, whether they are from the same baradri? How many of us are just looking at kitne kamande, how much do they earn, what job do they have, will they live together, will they have a separate home? All of these are arbitrary things which are not more important than how will your son or your daughter treat my son or my daughter, and how will they bring them closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how will they save them from the fire of hell, how will they save them in their graves. These are the questions that we should actually be looking at, rather than just how will your son or daughter affect my son and daughter in the dunya, but rather it should be in the hereafter. Our question should always be before, whenever we make any decisions in our life, whether that is education, whether that is business or anything else, will this action take me to Jannah? Will this action take me closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And if that life partner, that spouse, that individual does not have the strong faith and iman, does not have the deen, does not have the character, then it doesn't matter how affluent and how beautiful and what baradri it is, that marriage will not succeed. Because even if it does succeed for a short period in the dunya, it will have failed in the qabr, it will have failed in the hereafter. So we need to look at these beautiful examples that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us of Sayyidina Zakariya alayhi salam and his wife. But also look at the opposite examples that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us. Wicked examples of wicked partners in the Quran who help one another towards evil. The first one, كَانُوا يُسَارِعُونَ فِي الْخَيْرَاتِ وَيَدْعُونَنَا رَغَبًا وَرَهَبًا, encouraging and supporting each other towards khayrat. And then we see other verses of the Qur'an where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us, تَبَّتْ يَدَا أَبِي لَهَبٍ وَتَبْ مَا أَغْنَى عَنْهُ مَالُهُ وَمَا كَسَبْ سَيَصْلَى نَارًا ذَاتَ لَهَبْ وَامْرَأَتُهُ حَمَّالَةَ الْحَطَبْ فِي جِيدِهَا حَبْلٌ مِّن مَّسَدٍ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is cursing the uncle of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, and the wife of the uncle of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, Ummi Jameel. What did she used to do? She used to eavesdrop on all of the conversations of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, and then she would manipulate the situation. Do you know how even our women do this? They listen to something and they add 5-6 masale, 10-20 masale, and they say, ewa yasi malat, egal sunnah, and all of these things. They love that. They love sensationalizing things things as well. And men are part and parcel of that. This is what she used to do, eavesdrop on what's going on in the community, sensationalize and manipulate the situation, then go to her husband and then give him ideas. This is how you can harm Islam. This is how you can prevent Muslims from rising up. Do this and do this and do this. This is an example of a wicked relationship of al-khabisat and khabisun, of these people not encouraging each other towards khair and goodness, but encouraging each other towards wickedness and evil. They aided one another in evil, and she rushed back in the dunya with all of these gossips and this news, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reminding us in the Quran, in the akhirah, she will be the one rushing back with firewood, that firewood which will fuel her punishment, and the punishment of her husband, and it'll be the fuel of the fire of hell. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reminding us, the importance of having these good relationships and not wicked relationships. Reflect on the story of Sayyidina Nuh alayhi salam and Sayyidina Lut alayhi salam. Allah azza wa jal chose us that these were the two righteous servants of Allah azza wa jal, the best husbands at that time on the dunya. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, ذَرَبَ اللَّهُ مَثَلًا لِلَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا امْرَأَةَ نُوحٍ وَامْرَأَةَ لُوتٍ كَانَتَا تَحْتَ عَبْدَيْنِ مِنْ عِبَادِ صالحين فخانتاهما فلم يغنيا عنهما من الله شيئا وقيل ادخل النهر مع الداخلين. The example of Nuh alayhi salam and Lut alayhi salam, how these Nuh alayhi salam would go and convert people and bring them to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And his wife, she would go and undermine her own husband. She would go to her baradri and her khandan and say, this person has converted, go and change his mind. And she would go and she would share the secrets of Nuh alayhi salam, and she would doubt him on every single turn. The wife of Lut alayhi salam betrayed him, and she would go and tell her people, these two angels have descended, but go and fulfill all of your wishes and your desires with these two individuals. This is how they would betray their own husbands as well. This is the example of vicious and wicked women. And this is there for men as well in the Quran as well. And we need to be extremely careful on the influences that we have in our life. Pious people will encourage piety in you and in your life and bring you closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If the husband is not pious, then it's very difficult for the wife to be pious, and vice versa as well. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does give us another example of how even in these situations you can overcome and protect your iman to the best of your ability. وَضَرَبَ اللَّهُ مَثَلًا لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا امْرَأَةَ فِرْعَوْنَ إِذْ قَالَتْ رَبِّ ابْنِنِي عِنْدَكَ بَيْتًا في الجنة ونجني من فرعون وعمله ونجني من القوم الظالمين. The worst human being on earth, on the face of the earth, Fir'aun. But look at his wife Asiya at that time. She was tortured by him, but she never abandoned her faith. She stayed strong and remained steadfast. So just because sometimes you may be in a very tricky and worse situation, it doesn't mean you abandon who you are and your faith. And she stayed steadfast, and she turned to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and said, oh my Lord, build me a home next to you in Jannah, and protect me from Fir'aun and from his actions, and protect me from the zalimeen. She absolved herself from the influence and from the actions of her spouse. So your spouses can influence you to a certain degree, but that's also not a complete excuse for you to say, well, he made me do this, she made me do this, because we have the example there of Asiya with Fir'aun and how she protected herself. We have the examples of Nuh and Lut alayhi salam and how their wives deceived and betrayed them. We have various examples in the Quran how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to protect our iman and preserve our iman and make sure that we look to those people who are righteous, because that is the core foundation of our relationships and the success of our relationships. So just before we invest in any worldly thing, we look at the income, we look at the benefits, we look at the rewards, we look at the dividends, we look at so many things before we invest into a business. Before we go into anything, we use our mind, our intellect, our emotions, we use advice of everybody. Why is it that we do not look at the greatest investment for you and your child, which is the investment of the akhirah, that you do not look at those people and you not check their iman? We don't even ask whether they pray or not. We don't even ask whether they wear the hijab or not. We don't even ask how practicing they are. We don't ask any of these things. We just ask the questions of the dunya. Why are we so superficial? when we have such a huge stake and that person has such a huge influence on you and your child. We do not look at the beauty, we do not look at the wealth or the race or the ethnicity or the family. Yes, they may be important to a certain degree, but the primary thing we need to always look at is look at the person who has deen, look at the person who has iman, look at the person who has good akhlaq. These are the things that will keep your children steadfast in the deen and also in the dunya. So inshallah, Allah, we'll continue with this particular topic, and also how parents need to be a bit more open-minded as well and have this open communication with their children on this particular matter. وَقُولِ قَوْلِ هَذَا وَأَسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ لِي وَلَكُمْ جَزَاكُمُ اللَّهُ خَيْرًا